Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We certainly welcome our deaconess students and also our PhD intensive students, even a guest professor from St. Louis. Good to have you here during this time. Our text is the lesson that was read. And in it, Jesus asked an important question. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? What did you go out to see when John the Baptist was preaching? This is the question Jesus asked the crowds after John had come through his own emissaries asking if Jesus was the Messiah or if they should expect another one to come. It was John's prophetic career that at that moment had a muzzle put on it through the imprisonment by Herod Antipas. And in spite of what was happening to John, and in spite of the doubts that he may have expressed about whether Jesus was the Messiah or there was another one to come, Jesus wanted the crowds to know that John's prophetic preaching was just what God wanted and what they needed. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. First century Jews and 21st century Americans don't need preachers who tell them what they want to hear. First century Jews, 21st century Americans, don't need preachers who seek to get rich off of their hearers. What is needed, what was needed then, and what is still needed today, are preachers who explain and proclaim God's word faithfully as he has delivered it to them. You came out to hear a prophet, and yes, even more than a prophet, one who was the climax of all of the Old Testament prophets. Finally again in the wilderness, finally again in Israel, people were hearing, thus says the Lord. They were hearing an authentic proclamation of the word God was giving. All of us who were in church yesterday also heard the end result of John's prophetic career and proclaimed so wonderfully by my colleague, Dr. Grimm. John's condemnation of Herod's adultery with Herodias, who had previously been married to Herod's brother, Philip, led her scheming to have John's head delivered on a platter. We all are familiar with that gospel lesson from a child on. John's preaching, his condemnation of sin, his call to repentance, his witness to the Lamb of God led to his death. He was a prophet who proclaimed condemning law and comforting gospel to his death. Yes, although John is known for confronting sin, he's also known for bringing the message of repentance that leads to a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. He is known for taking his own disciples and directing them to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not only law, but also comforting gospel. Yes, prophetic preaching like that of John the Baptist is still needed to confront sin and absolve sinners, including sins related to marriage, which certainly are in news today. Not the kind of preaching and teaching that tells people what they want to hear. An example of the latter is found on public display, Journal Gazette last Friday, opinion poll. A pastor from our own Fort Wayne area, First Presbyterian, Pastor Jeff Len, wrote this. It was actually an excerpt from a sermon he delivered. So that's all the more condemning, not just a public opinion piece, but a sermon he delivered, in which he, after stating that Old Testament really doesn't give us a picture of biblical marriage, because patriarchs and kings had multiple wives or concubines, he goes on to state, and I quote, this is a quotation, not my preaching, his. Okay? Perhaps we better find better luck, we'll find better luck finding support for traditional marriage in the New Testament. But Jesus was single, so was the Apostle Paul. In fact, there are many occasions when it seems like marriage is discouraged as a potential deterrent, a distraction from full-fledged devotion to Jesus in the New Testament. No, advocates of traditional marriage do not get to claim that a monogamous heterosexual marriage between a man and a woman is the consistent biblical witness, because it is clearly not. End of quote. One thing when you're getting attacked from the secular world. It's another thing when you have it even from within the wider church. This is not what John or any of the other prophets or apostles preached. Why do we spend so much time at this seminary on biblical interpretation, learning Greek, learning Hebrew, studying these texts? Because these texts are what form you, form your teaching, so that when you open your mouth, your confusion doesn't come out, but God's truth. God's truth, faithfully, as the prophet John and as yet some pastors still preach today. So that this kind of false doctrine never comes out of your mouth or from your pen, but rather faithful proclamation of God's will for marriage, of God's call to repentance from sin, all kinds of sins against marriage, and the forgiveness that is full and total in our Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus said of John is not all that surprising. If there's anyone who tooted John's horn, it was Jesus. What is surprising is what Jesus goes on to say in our text. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What does Jesus mean here? The one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I know there's all sorts of budding biblical interpreters here that say, oh, what he's saying is, I'm the least in the kingdom of God. And so I, Jesus, am greater than John. When you think about it, well, that's possible, and certainly it's true. Jesus is greater than John. Is that really what Jesus is getting at? He usually doesn't toot his own horn. John's great, but, you know, I can one up him. I'm the Son of God in human flesh. No. I think he's actually speaking about you. You who have been baptized with a Christian baptism, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You who stand on the other side of the cross, where the prophets of old longed to see the fulfillment of all of that coming together, of the winning of the forgiveness of sins for the world in Jesus' death. You who stand on the other side of the resurrection, knowing that victory that had been proclaimed by the prophets is now accomplished, and you can proclaim that. One who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? Because of what we have now to proclaim in the accomplished work that the prophets foretold. Yes. Why? Because John saw coming as the last of the prophets, you and I see fulfilled. We stand on the other side of the cross. We witness the Lamb of God having already saved us and the world. We stand on the other side of the resurrection. We have that greater prophetic message to proclaim than John, because we point to the completed work of Jesus now offered in a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and in the very flesh and blood of our risen Lord and Savior. Do we still need prophets like John? Absolutely. Yes, and as we point to the crucified, risen, and returning Jesus, we can be even greater than John. because we have an even greater message. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.